Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
Our culture conditions a mindset. You are number one. You deserve to have the best from everybody around you. Life is like a movie and you play the starring role. The advertiser has at the top on page one, it says, "We're for you." It's the me first problem. And it sort of goes back a long way. Adam and Eve wanted to live life on their terms. That still represents us well today. Once when Jesus was traveling with his disciples, the disciples had a disagreement over who was the greatest. And James and John wanted to sit on each side of Jesus in heaven like little boys wanting to sit next to their grandparent and be the favourite grandchildren. People talk of working their way up the ladder, getting to the top, and we're not much different. We want to be special. To live life according to our own terms. We could call it a form of idolatry, an idolatry of self. Our culture feeds this to us when it tells us that we're the most important and we deserve what we want. The attitude of a servant is somewhat countercultural. We're continuing our series on altitude and attitude today, lifting up Jesus in Lent. And last week, Jonathan addressed who is Jesus? Fully God, fully human. He talked about the importance of the divinity and the humanity of Jesus and what that means for us. And if you weren't there, I encourage you to listen to it on the podcast. Interestingly, he used the analogy of a plane taking us to another place just as Jesus takes us to another place. And today, a plane has taken him to another place this weekend. And so you've got me. And so we continue our series with a focus on Jesus as servant. Now, Paul has written this letter to the church in Philippi. It's a church plant that he started. Philippi was this Roman colony full of retired soldiers, lots of patriotic nationalism. There was quite a bit of resistance to the notion of Jesus as king. And believers were persecuted for saying that he was. Now, here in Australian culture, we seem to have a resistance to anyone as king or ruler. We don't like anyone telling us what to do or how to live. We like to be our own people. So perhaps the context is similar. This letter is a little bit different to the other ones that we have of Paul. In one sense, it's a sort of short, reflective essays, if anything that Paul says is short. However, we do believe that Paul was short. I've always liked Paul. Now, these short reflective essays sort of sit around these verses in chapter 2. It's this Messiah poem, this Christ hymn at the centre. And it's a beautiful condensed version of the gospel story. There are echoes of the Old Testament in it. For instance, Adam and Eve seeking equality with God. Before becoming human, Jesus had equality with God, as he was fully God. But he emptied himself of his status, became human and a servant to all. He humbled himself. Some translate this to be allowed himself to be humiliated and was obedient to the Father by going to death by execution. And then by God's power and grace, death was reversed through the resurrection. And God highly exalts Jesus as King of all. All creation will recognize that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is Paul's conviction of who Jesus is, the attitude of Jesus, servant, humility, obedience, the way of life that believers are to imitate. It's a unique window into Paul's heart and mind. So how was Jesus a servant? Jesus emptied himself, made himself nothing, emptied himself of status, emptied himself of significance. By taking the very nature of a servant, he came as a servant, not to be served. And he described himself as a servant in his teaching. He did not seek to be served. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He did not come to do his own will, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And he aimed to serve others. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? But I am among you as one who serves. He didn't promote himself. He modeled servanthood by physically washing the feet of his disciples, a beautiful picture of servanthood for us today. He taught his disciples that greatness is found in servanthood, countercultural to their thinking and their context at the time. He became a servant. He willingly left the splendor of heaven for the smell of the feed trough that he slept in. He left the company of angels for the company of human beings, for our company. And he was omnipresent, so he's present everywhere at the same time and took on the limits of humanity. Humility. Jesus humbled himself. Now, the ancient world didn't like humility. It was an honor and shame culture. Much of life revolved around ensuring that you and your family received public honor, and so you avoided public shame. Avoiding honor implied a diminishment of merit, and so therefore avoiding honor was actually shameful. Self-congratulation was not cringeworthy, it was the norm. Humility was the stuff of slaves. This is the context that Paul is writing into. Jesus remains a figure of historical interest to historians and philosophers today. Part of that is his influence on humility in Western culture. Humility is seen as a virtue, not so much because of his persona, but his execution and how his followers actually came to grips with this. Crucifixion was reserved for political rebels and slaves. It was the most shameful and the most brutal form of capital punishment. His followers could have seen the crucifixion as evidence of humiliation of Jesus, but instead they saw it as proof that greatness can express itself in humility, the noble choice to lower yourself for the sake of others. And hence these words in the Messiah poem, Christ's hymn, "In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Honor and shame are turned on their heads. Honor is redefined." Obedience, even to the cross. Now, in these first verses, Jesus is the subject. He made, he humbled his own. This is voluntary. In the last section, God is the subject. Jesus is the passive. We've talked a bit about the crucifixion. You know, the cross was the descent to the depths, the cruelest form of official execution in the Roman Empire. It was unimaginable pain and utter shame. You know, only this last week as a theology student, I had to look away as we studied crucifixion. And we looked at the photos of a mummified remains of someone executed by persecution. It was cruel. And yet Jesus was obedient even to the cross. But wait, there's more. From this, we see the exaltation of Jesus. We read of the action of Christ, and then there's this little word, therefore, taking us to God's response to the serving humility and obedience of Jesus, the exaltation of Christ. And it reminds us of the Apostles' Creed, where Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name above every name. All will honour the name of Jesus. All will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's a sense here of Jesus as indescribable, irresistible, incomprehensible. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. His love is limitless. Jesus is sovereign. He's a supreme ruler and one we don't need to resist. This is a ruler who loves us beyond our very comprehension. This Jesus who loved us so much that he died on the cross for each of us. He took our place to save us from all that stuff that we do or say or think that separates us from God or from others. And he saves us to a reconciled relationship with God, a reconciled relationship with others. It's extraordinary. Jesus is in relationship with us, walking with us. You know, I recently had a health issue that required surgery, and while I was waiting for some test results, we sang a song here, just up there. He's in the waiting. And I was quite overwhelmed because God is in the waiting, in the hoping, in the longing. In joy and in sorrow, struggle or grief. God is present in pain and sickness and health. Jesus is present throughout the whole journey. And in every situation, God is love and God is kind and God is hope. I was reminded of this last week when I was a bit teary when praying, and I'm reading through Isaiah in my Bible reading at the moment. And I came across this verse on this very day. From Isaiah, the sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears of all faces. And I imagine Jesus, sovereign Lord, name above every name, physically wiping away tears from my cheek. You know, we know the hug of our father, our parent. Jesus walks with us and carries us, and the Spirit, our comfort and our counselor, surrounds us and enfolds us. Friends, we're invited to be in relationship with Jesus, to know the Father, to rely on the Holy Spirit every day in every situation. Jesus, servant, humble and obedient, who descended into greatness. You know, we're looking at altitude and attitude. And I don't know if you've ever been up in a glider or watched gliders in action. We have two gliders above us here. They're sleek and streamlined, long wings built to glide. Gliders have no engine. They rely on a tug or a winch to launch them. And to stay in the sky, they need to find thermals or ridge lift or atmospheric wave. They are eerily quiet. And I know Jonathan said last week that he doesn't like flying. I think there's something beautiful about being in a plane without the sound of an engine. You actually hear the air movement. You're in touch with the sky in a whole different way. To fly a glider, you need a skilled pilot, a flight-worthy glider, the right instruments and equipment, and the right weather helps too. A skilled pilot is trained, certificated, can read the cloud, and has the right attitude, a healthy respect for safety. It's responsible and focused. Now, my brother Pete is a glider pilot. He's been gliding since he was 15. He was able to fly a glider in the air before he could drive a car on the road. He's the current 18-metre class Australian champion. And he's been an Australian champion many times. And in fact, about 10 years ago, he brought home bronze for Australia in the World Championships in Italy, flying over the Italian mountains, which is what you do in a glider without an engine. You fly over mountains and Alps. And now, Pete likes to fly for the freedom and the enjoyment of achieving something. He's motivated by always wanting to push the limits, always doing better, learning more. For instance, he's planning a flight up past Maree to the Birdsville track in the next year or so. It'll be 1,250 kilometres in the one flight without an engine. And no one has this record in Australia as yet, so he'd like it. But I think there are some things that we can learn from gliding as we serve God and serve others. Now, in gliding, you keep learning. You read all you can. You know where to read the Bible. Read more. Learn more. Pilots practice. They fly, fly, fly. For us, practicing serving wherever we can. Pilots talk to other pilots. We learn together. We gather together here. We gather in small groups. In gliding, you need to read the cloud. That's actually a thing. You need to know what type of cloud it is, what height it is, and what the air is doing around in the vicinity of the cloud. We need to read our context culturally, socially, spiritually. When you fly over 10,000 feet in a glider, you must have oxygen. And it sort of reminds me a bit of relying on the Holy Spirit, even more so when we're out of our comfort zone. You know how you need to know how to read the instruments. A pilot can't start to use them when in flight. We actually need to know them beforehand. And it may look insignificant, but a really important piece of equipment next to the instruments is a piece of wool taped onto the canopy. It's called a yaw string, but it's essentially a piece of wool stuck with sticky tape. Well, that's what it looks like to me. But it's really important because it shows if you're flying sideways, which is bad. Pay attention to the seemingly insignificant, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, only a few weeks ago, I had a prompting over a couple of days to visit someone in hospital who was dying. And there was always an excuse. It was too hot, I had the wrong car, didn't have the car park pass it, and I didn't. And the next week it was too late. We need to listen to the promptings. What are the promptings of the Spirit that we hear and we don't listen to? What are the promptings that we don't hear? And the last thing is to be safe. A pilot needs to know the rules to wear the parachute. We need to be aware of the safety of ourselves and the safety of others. Now, I didn't realise that a glider actually has an attitude. It has nothing to do with emotions. It's the orientation in the air in respect to the horizon. Now, if the glider is diving downwards, that's called a nose-down attitude. If it's pointing up, that's a nose-up attitude. The glider's attitude controls the speed. It's actually quite important. Where you're focused, where you're pointing, affects your attitude. I asked my brother Pete why he was addicted to altitude, and he said he wasn't, which didn't help my point very much. He said he's addicted to distance. And for distance, you need altitude. And for altitude, you need attitude. If we're wanting to go the distance, we need altitude and attitude. Friends, these words that we've looked at in Philippians 2 It's more than just a little text from a Far Eastern colony of the Roman Empire many years ago. You know, this text is the gospel in miniature. It's worthy of learning by memory. It has incredible significance for us today. Jesus is the ultimate servant. His servanthood, his humility and obedience inspires and challenges us in our Christian faith, in our everyday living. A true servant doesn't seek to be served, doesn't do their own will, doesn't promote themselves, but aims to serve others. Servanthood and humility are somewhat countercultural. Are we prepared to be countercultural? Are we ready to obey, even if it is countercultural? Jesus, servant, humble and obedient, saved us from ourselves and our stuff, saves us to reconciliation with God and with others. This is good news. And we respond. We respond to serving God by being humble, being obedient. It's more about being than what it is about doing. Love God, love others, serve God, serve others. And in altitude and attitude, we know freedom. So, prepare to go the distance. Keep learning. Read the Bible. Fly. Practice serving. Meet with other pilots. Read the cloud. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to the promptings of the Spirit. Be safe. Focus to affect your attitude. And go the distance with altitude and attitude. And in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, the same attitude of mind as Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Loving and living God, you are exalted to the highest place. You have the name above every name. Thank you for the gift of reconciliation, for relationship with you. We're sorry for those times that we make our lives all about us, when we don't focus on you, when we don't serve you and others. Thank you that these things and our sins are forgiven through Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus, we acknowledge you as Lord this morning, Lord of this church, Lord of our lives. Thank you for choosing to be human, for taking off your royalty to become a servant. Thank you for your humility, your obedience, even to the cross. We're so grateful for the invitation to walk with you. Thank you that you, sovereign Lord, wipe away our tears. We respond to your amazing love by giving ourselves to serve you. Holy Spirit, our comforter, our counselor. Thank you for surrounding and enfolding us, flowing in us and through us. Help us to rely on you, to hear your promptings, to be pointed and focused on God. Lord God, help us to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, to be a servant, humble and obedient in our everyday lives.